Hi, I'm Eric.
I'm Alec.
We're the Petchy Brothers.
And this is Story Tap,
where my brother and I try to tap the potential of an idea by turning it into a story.
This episode, Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic.
No, it's cool.
You have to earn it.
I'm probably going to start the episode right here. Kate's there in the corner. Say hi, Kate.
Hello.
Good. You're probably not going to hear any more from Kate.
We have
two microphones, and she just really wanted to watch more than anything else. We're buying more microphones. If we had a third one, she probably would be a feature right now. But anyway, so you saw that the Knights of the Old Republic remake is happening, right?
Okay, so we're doing this. Yeah, it's a matter of time.
It's already decided. Unless you want to do the backup idea where it predict what happens in No Time to Die.
I'm not leaving. Let's go with the KOTOR series or KOTOR movie idea.
All right, cool.
So what, you getting Keanu Reeves like you always said?
Yeah.
I mean, we've never spoken about the idea of a KOTOR movie.
Okay, so before we talk about anything, let's lay down some groundwork. We are going to change up some plot points because going from medium to medium, video game to TV show, this is going to be a series, by the way. We're not doing movies because I'm working under the assumption the story is strong enough to carry itself as multiple movies. But as you know, when they do, quote, a Star Wars story movies, those are one-off kind of things. Mm-hmm. So I'm more working under the assumption that I want the story to really show its potential. But in that case, we would need multiple movies or a series, and I think Disney would be more forthcoming greenlighting a series. Word?
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Okay, so we're doing KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, colon, a Star Wars story on Disney Plus, pretty much. So before we talk about anything, disclaimer, we are going to change certain plot points. However, we are spoiling major stuff from the game, and I really recommend you go play it. Anyway, so this is a series, and I suppose we would work under the assumption that it would all be one season, unless we feel some strong vibes coming from something else. You know what I mean, though, right? It's that on this show, we come up with the beginning, the middle, and the end, and that's a lot harder on a series, and it's especially harder over multiple seasons, you know?
Okay, yeah, I get that. That makes sense. That was sort of a mistake we made in an early episode with Magus, right?
Well, for sure.
Which was, like, a cool concept, but that's an idea that you pitch and tell them. That's like, here's some stuff we might want to have happen in season two.
Yeah, because, I mean, the format of the podcast is we come up with the idea in an hour, but there's so many more plot points. You have to come up with, like, you know, the beginning, the midpoint, and where the season ends, essentially, for multiple seasons, and that's so much more work.
All right, well, then let's stop talking about it and let's start doing it. We got a one-season story arc for Knights of the Old Republic, the series.
Word. And to give exposition, I'm going to ask you to relay the majority of plot points from the game, because I know them by heart, but, you know, it's better for the audience to connect if you do it.
Okay. So, Knights of the Old Republic. It's 1,000 years or so. It's 1,000 years, right? Before the events of the first of the original Star Wars movies, the Republic is at war with the Sith, led by Darth Revan and Darth Malak. Darth Revan has fallen in battle, and there is a ship returning to the Republic systems. It's attacked. The leader of the Republic fleet, a Jedi named Bastila, is captured, and the protagonist, the nameless protagonist, our protagonist was always named, like, Riff Jasfra, or something like that, one of those automated, auto-created weird Star Wars names, lands with Carth Onassi, a captain in the Republic army, on Taris. And then you get in some adventures on Taris, and you make some friends. Rescue Bastila, who's been captured. You fly off world after a bunch of stuff. You go to Dantooine, where you become a Jedi, travel around looking for pieces of a map to a super weapon called the Starforge, where the Sith army is getting its power from. And along the way, on the godforsaken water planet of Manon, and in the Wookiee jungle planet Kashyyyk, you slowly piece together your own life story and find out you are Darth Revan, the Sith who fell in battle to Bastila.
Memory wiped, not
memory
dead.
Wiped, not dead. Memory wiped and or head trauma.
Yeah.
Combination is a team effort. So you're presented with this question: will you embrace who you were before, or will you choose to become this good person that you have believed yourself to be?
Which brings me, actually leads into the last plot point, is you get to choose throughout the whole game, light side or dark side, good guy or bad guy, and which culminates in the end, do you take over the galaxy or do you save it from the bad guys? And that leads into the big theme that I want the show to be about.
Choose evil?
Is being... your choices matter, essentially. I want a big theme to be the Force is this weird cosmic sort of force. Wow. Great verbiage there. That sort of determines the balance of what is quote-unquote good or what is quote-unquote bad. And I want some characters to try and sort of reinforce this idea that it's like, oh, cosmic balance, can't do nothing about it. Might as well just, you know, hedonism. But the main character to say, no, I'm going to choose to be a good guy, and then, you know, that is what we are essentially arguing is the right choice. You dig?
Yes.
So, this is a lot like the treatment for the duology of movies I wrote for a Knights of the Old Republic series, or for two movies. So, we're going to have to come up with a new story that is also Knights of the Old Republic, and different. Doesn't have to be better, but it definitely has to be different and has to be good enough for the podcast.
I'm still... why do you keep writing duologies? Nobody does duologies.
Because it's the best format, in my opinion. Okay, so what this basically is for the listeners, it's just getting a new Knights of the Old Republic story that we hope does justice.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it's like a creative exercise on top of a creative exercise, because we have to come up with another story. But... that's enough talking about it. Let's get to talking about it. It's already 10 minutes in. More like 7 or 8. So, do you want to decide midpoint, the end, or the beginning first? What we usually decide first of all is tone and genre. And I'm thinking, I mean, we're just going to go with the unobtrusive Disney formula. It's going to be like The Mandalorian. There's going to be quote-unquote violence, but it's not going to be like... a main feature. It's mostly about the adventure and the, you know, high flying, soaring through the air, using the Force, doing just cool stuff. And yeah, some people get blasted, but like, it's not about that.
Yeah.
So it's an action adventure, sort of PG, like a slightly mature PG action adventure. So keeping in mind the main plot points of the game, the bulk of the game, the middle, was find each piece of this map, the star map, to the Star Forge. And I don't remember how many there were.
I think there were five.
There were five. There was the one on Dantooine, which would be not be considered the middle. That would be considered like the major inciting event.
Yeah.
Inciting incident for the overarching story.
Kashyyyk, Tatooine, Manon. Ugh. Yuck.
Korriban.
Korriban. I always forget Korriban. That might have been it.
There were only four? Yeah.
Kashyyyk, Tatooine, Manon, Korriban. There were four, aside from Dantooine. I think Dantooine was counted as one of them, so.
Okay. So, those are the ones that we're probably going to hit, and I'm supposing there's going to be one, and maybe occasionally two episodes, and I'm imagining 40 to 50-ish minute episodes per star map. You dig?
Yeah.
So, like if
you spend
they
an episode or two on Taurus, and then... an episode or two on Dantooine, and then you spend an episode per star map piece right. For a little while.
Yeah. And there's room to manipulate that. If they ask for more episodes or fewer episodes, we could just add a planet, get rid of a planet. And in my original, I think I got rid of a planet because it ruined pacing. But the idea is doing the main game justice with that sort of formula. We're going planet hopping, looking for star maps, and we're making friends along the way.
You know... maybe the real Star Forge was the friends we made along the way.
That's kind of... That's kind of what they go for.
I'm sad, Ben.
Anyway. I forgot that. So, we've got the overall philosophical statement. We kind of got the idea for the middle part. I think we've got enough to work with. Starting from the top, where do we begin? Do we start where the game started? Let's, instead of just coming up with adapting the story in, like, I'm going to say this, instead of just adapting the story in a good way, how about instead we do what we think someone who's, like, really out of touch with Star Wars lore, what they would do. Like, someone presents with you a sort of treatment of the game, just broad strokes, like, and instead of playing the game and getting into it, they're like, okay, I can make a quote-unquote original story with this.
Okay, so, like, what we did with Ponyo and Luca when we came up with the Peche pitch.
Yes.
But with Star Wars.
Yes.
Like, if we hadn't seen Star Wars.
Yes.
I like it.
Okay. Okay, we'll I dig this. We'll ask
for your ideas, Kate.
Yeah, we'll ask Kate for ideas, because she, first of all, she's not into Star Wars as it is, but she's definitely, actually, she might be more into Knights of the Old Republic than anything else, considering how much I talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You probably know as much about Knights of the Old Republic as you, like, do about the rest of the Star Wars crap. Probably. All right, there you go.
Okay, so now we know, okay, this is going to be fun all over.
This is great. I love this idea.
Okay. So, without knowing specific inciting incidents or settings in the game, ooh, this is fun now.
Yeah, it's about this villain who's lost his memory and is sort of taken by a band of rowdy misfits to fulfill his quest.
Okay,
he was already on when he was evil.
You know what I would do with that?
What would you do with that, Eric?
If I was out of touch, when I'm not, I'm a super big Knights of the Old Republic fan.
No, it's lies. You don't know anything about this.
I'm already getting a PS5 so that I can play the game. Is I would see that and I would say, you know what would be really cool? Is we tell two stories. One of, I'm going to call him, it's going to be a him for now, Avrin, because that's just a anagram. Is that the word? Anagram? For Revan. So I'm going to tell two stories for Avrin, anagram for Revan. Our protagonist, we're telling two stories, the same protagonist, but we're going to have some sort of inciting incident, like The Way of Kings. Oh my gosh, I love The Way of Kings, because it was telling two stories, but about the same guy. One was a super battle-hardened soldier who was all about war, and he was just a tactical genius, and he was very serious all the time. And then through flashbacks, flashbacks, there was this super innocent kid who was just like 2 or 3 years younger. And then you got closer and closer to figuring out the one event that separated those two stories. Something like that. But then the twist later in the show is those flashbacks weren't real. That way, in the beginning, we can have, oh, this is so mind-blowing already. I love this. We have Avrin telling the band of misfits who he is. We have the flashback story revealing that, oh, the story he's telling his quote-unquote teammates is a lie. And then we figure out, no, even that, the flashbacks were a lie. Okay, this is cool. So, what sort of event do we want to insinuate happens between the quote-unquote flashbacks and the Avrin we're seeing in real time? Do we want it to be like a loss of innocence, like with The Way of Kings, or do we want it to be something he blames himself for, and that's why he's more of a martyr kind of guy?
Okay.
One sec.
Turns Avrin, or like turns this innocent person who doesn't exist, into Revan?
No, I'm asking, fake Avrin,
mm-hmm.
Avrin in front of us. What is the event that we get closer to with each successive flashback? Should it mirror the truth, which is Revan, or should it just be that we're going all in on these memories are fake and the Jedi put them in his brain?
Vote now by tweeting to @storytap your option. I think it should reflect reality.
Okay. So what ultimately, so the ultimate event should be something that is like tragedy strikes as a result of the Sith. And then that instills in present Avrin, I need revenge on the Sith. I must join the army. And so when there's the twist that the Jedi put these lies in his brain, it was ultimately to make him turn against the Sith. Do we start on Terrace? Man, if I was an out-of-touch Disney executive, I would say start right in the middle of the action on Dantooine. You dig?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, let's be out of touch.
Let's do it.
And have Taris be part of the flashbacks so that the flashbacks bleed into reality more.
Ooh, that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got... Okay, that way we could do the protagonist is more like Bastila, and she sort of hands off the protagonist baton to Avrin. That would be pretty tight.
That does sound pretty tight.
Like with Game of Thrones a little bit. Okay. So we start the show. Narrative focus is on Bastila, and part of her character arc is, you know, her pride. And she, what seems like her just being super proud, being like, I don't want to babysit this guy just because he happened to get lucky and save my butt on Terrace, is actually because she doesn't want to work with Revan, which is freaking her out. That's tight already.
Bastila had a character arc?
Yeah.
I haven't thought about this in a long time.
Anyway. So, what, very beginning of the show is... Bastila and Karth and Avrin crash landing on Dantooine, just barely getting away from the Sith in a kerfuffle on Terrace.
Kerfuffle.
And then we tell, just like in the first half of the first episode, the rescuing Bastila story, and already we've lost a bunch of characters from the main game. That's, say goodbye to Trask, first of all. Say goodbye to Candorus, to T3, to Mission and Zalvar? No, we need Mission and Zalvar.
I said make it the flashbacks. Put Taris in the flashbacks.
Okay, okay.
So you've got this misfit crew that crash lands.
Okay.
And then we get to reveal, it's like, ooh, how did this crew come together?
That's much better than what I thought you meant. I was misleading myself. So
you've got flashbacks that are real and then some flashbacks that aren't. It's a mislead.
Very good. So We will tell rather than show them crash landing on Terrace.
So crash that way, landing on Dantooine.
No.
Oh, okay.
We'll show crash landing on Dantooine, and then Avrin will be sort of interrogated and be like, what happened? And then he'll be like, we crash landed on Terrace. There's a lot of crash landing in this game series.
Maybe they should just get a better pilot.
He explains how... And we're already getting a little too into specifics, considering this is supposed to be a series. But we'll leave it at that, essentially. We start getting to Dantooine barely. Everyone's in critical condition, except for, like, Avrin and one or two others.
Yeah. Like, a couple of people are just scraped up, and they're walking around doing Jedi Temple stuff.
Right. And they interrogate Avrin, demanding, like, what happened? And then... In the first episode, we describe what happened on Terrace. How we found Mission, she got us into some building. In exchange, we helped her out to rescue her Wookiee friend Zalbar from something. And she got us in the room to save Bastila. And we can have Candorus and T3 also. And then we explain, oh, that guy figured out there was a ship to get us off world, and that droid was how we got through a door to get to that ship.
Right. So and then we can always come back to that a little bit more to add some more texture to those characters. If we want to do like a more Candorus focused episode or like a mission focused episode.
Yeah.
We can flash back to those meetings again.
Right. And we can throw in one or two flashbacks of what we think is real past Avrin, but is the fake memories of the Jedi putting him a while ago. That's awesome. So the first episode should end either on a cliffhanger or with... I think I'm a much bigger fan of the two-part pilot, though that might be too much time to cover with too few events. So I'm thinking the pilot should end with the sort of reveal oh, Avrin, you're special somehow, and this thing you stumbled upon, the star map, is going to, like, lead you somewhere else that you have to go.
Okay, but, you know, stumbling, they have to stumble on the star map on Dantooine.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Just
yeah, for sure.
Okay. Alright, sure. So does he begin Jedi training in the first episode? Because, like, that's kind of important to him finding the star map. Or at least in the video game. And we can change that.
I think a two-parter pilot would be better. I forgot about Jedi training and all this other stuff.
Right, yeah. So it's like alright. Okay, so they can just kind of send him out.
Right.
Into the gardens or whatever the heck it's called. Where they meet Johanni, who is by far the hottest character in this series.
I abstain.
Fair enough. That's what they don't teach you about stand-up comedy, is that a lot of work goes into those, making it look effortless.
Yep.
So we fight Johanni, we get her over onto our side, because she's really interesting and morally nuanced, and this is why we don't do series.
Yeah.
Because this is hard, and it's all character-driven. We get out there, and that can kind of double as the revelation that Avrin is, what's the term, Force-sensitive.
Yeah.
And then it sort of becomes this mentality of, it's like, all right, Bastila, train this guy as you hippity-hop around the galaxy.
Exactly.
Looking for star maps, and she's like, I don't want to do that, and they're like, tough. And we think it's because she's too proud, but it's actually because he killed a bunch of her friends.
Exactly. So now we've got the super team of Avrin, Karth, who we've talked about none at all, but we will get into that, Bastila, Juhani, T3, Candorus, Zalbar, Mission. So they, by the end of At the end of the second part of the pilot, essentially episode 2, they just zoom off and it's like, oh, I wonder what's in store. And then episodes 3 through however many, we go from star map to star map, Avrin and Bastila just having dreams about whichever one is next, because that's how the game worked. And they just sort of have an idea. They have a general vague direction of where to go when they get to each planet, but they don't know specifics, so they have to get in with the locals.
And usually fight some kind of giant monster.
Yes. And now we have to decide. We don't have to decide the specific problems on each planet that's going on, but we do have to decide the midpoint. Is the midpoint where we figure out what Malak is planning? Is the midpoint sort of the twist where we figure out where Avrin is Revan? I feel like that's a bit early. Or is the midpoint just... Or is there no sort of, like, nothing special about the midpoint?
I think that the midpoint... I think you've already teed us up for a great midpoint twist. Is this realization that Avrin's flashbacks are not real.
Yeah.
That they're... not real, and that might... Does that manifest more strongly as discovering he's Revan, or as just discovering it's like he's not who we thought he was?
I think that manifests stronger if we find out the flashbacks aren't real, because I'm Revan, you know? I do think the midpoint should be something else, so that, like, the third pinch point right before whether or not he decides to participate in the great big showdown... That pinch point is, he's Revan.
Okay, then. Well, then it has more to do with what Malak is planning.
Yeah.
What is Malak planning?
I think we should figure out where the star maps lead at the midpoint. And we figure out...
That the star map is a super weapon?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not just some...
Because Wars loves a super weapon.
Exactly. So the midpoint... the looking for the star maps goes from... investigate this small mystery to, holy crap, save the galaxy. And you know how we can raise the stakes. We've figured out the midpoint before we figured out the first pinch point or anything. Midpoint can be the Jedi Enclave is destroyed. You remember?
Ooh, yes.
I love the plot device of, we have this safe house, this unmovable, this indestructible thing, and then the villain takes it over or destroys it or something. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
So we go from first two episodes, Terrace to Dantooine. Part two of the pilot is over. We're out in space. We're going from planet to planet. We have one episode, two episodes. I say we opt for four star maps off Dantooine, so five in total. That works out. I'd say the first one should be like Tatooine, and we get into kerfuffles with the sand people,
mm-hmm.
which are the Tusken Raiders. I don't know what they're called nowadays.
The Tusken Raiders. Are you like implying that?
No.
It's
I mean,
culturally insensitive to call the Tusken Raiders the sand people.
I don't know, but we came up with that term in the 70s.
Well, that's a good point. It might be. It might actually like be sound racist.
But we get into, okay, so we have enough time. I'd say let's go ahead and decide what the kerfuffles we get into on those first two planets are.
Okay. The first planet's Tatooine.
Yeah, first planet's Tatooine, and we'll decide the second.
Okay. Well, then I think each planet's kerfuffle should be distinct and represent some, I don't know, some symbolic milestone of like this group of people maturing or coming together as a team and, or overcoming something specific, some like archetypal conflict.
Exactly.
Like on Tatooine, it might be besting the desert or besting a giant monster. I remember in the game, the monster was a Krayt dragon.
That's right.
Which is like this ultimate manifestation of animal power.
Yeah.
I guess. It's like colossal and it's impossible to beat unless you work as a team, you know, like they did in The Mandalorian. So maybe they wouldn't want us to recycle that specifically.
That's
so true. This one might be, it's like you have to survive the desert. It's the middle of friggin' nowhere and you can't fly over it because of, you know, the whatever, the fields or the magnetic sand field wind storms. It's like Dune. Did you see Dune? It's like that.
I like that.
Okay, yeah. So it's like they have to find a way to survive nature and venture into the desert to find the star map on Tatooine.
Nice.
The next one, I'm flipping the mind coin. The next one is Kashyyyk, and there's no way to find the star map unless they can figure out a way to work with the Wookiees who live on Kashyyyk.
Yeah, because they own. We might chuck the sort of subplot with Zerka Corporation where they were like, actually no, that would be way too strong of a subplot to get rid of, especially for Disney in a show, of Zerka Corporation is coming in and colonizing everything. Oh, and that could be a great.
I'll take it too.
That could be a great point to exemplify Avrin making the decision. It was 100% the center attention of Samurai Jack. If there is even a chance that like some innocents are going to get hurt or some people who don't deserve to get hurt will, I am going to sacrifice whatever I have going on to protect them. And it was really aggravating because it was like, no, Jack, if you get to the past, none of this will matter. Anyway, so that way Avrin can be like, oh, my one lead to find the star map is about to, I don't know, fall off a cliff and never be found again. But also, those guys are taking Wookiee slaves, and like he doesn't even think about it. He just kicks some Zerka Corporation butt. And then, as a result of him doing the good, the right thing, he finds the star map as a direct result.
Mm. Because the Wookiees have a legend.
Exactly.
About like where the star map is and stuff. And yeah. Then maybe you get to fight another monster.
Yeah, and ooh. And when they find that second star map on Kashyyyk, they find out, oh, now that things are lining up a little bit better, and also something I found on Tatooine coincides perfectly with that. We find, like, schematics for whatever this thing is. It's a weapon, and it's on a scale that's never been seen before, at least diegetically, because the fans have definitely seen it before.
Yeah.
But anyway, we gotta go back to the Jedi Enclave and tell them just how serious this is. They go to the Jedi Enclave. It's destroyed. It's in shambles. It's in ashes. Cliffhanger.
Wipe this pathetic planet from the face of the galaxy.
Cliffhanger. We're gonna go. I can't think of any names or anything we can come up with during the break, but regardless.
We're gonna put our original Star Wars fanfiction characters into this series now.
We'll be right back.
And we're back. We decided nothing on the break because all of this is kind of established. We did talk a lot about random stuff with Kate. That was fun.
Always a good time.
Now, which planet are we going to
I'm
next?
Fun.
She is fun. Should give her a look. You make a podcast so people can listen to you.
Okay.
Okay. So which planet are we going to next?
What is left from the game was Manon and Korriban. And we'll definitely keep Korriban. Korriban. I'll swap back and forth between pronunciations.
Corby Borby.
Because that is such a Sith planet. And that's sort of the third pinch point of the season where Averyn has that revelation, I'm Revan with my mind wiped. And we can play with that when we get there. But right now we're deciding the first planet, or rather, we're deciding the third planet, which is Manon. Do we want to do Manon again?
I think we do Manon. I think that it has to be like about... Like we were talking about earlier, and you may have forgotten because it was so long ago. We were talking about how we want the group to overcome these archetypal situations. These, I don't know what else to call them, like, or these specific forms of conflict. And we've seen nature, and we've seen, I don't know, corporate greed. There's a better way to put that. But I suppose... On Manon, if you played the games, you'll remember that there is a boring trial on Manon.
Yeah, what sort of statement do we want to make with that? Because after Malak destroys Dantooine in that, you know, the midpoint, it's not quite a twist, but it is definitely an escalation. We get much more of a feeling that it's a race against the clock. You know?
Right. Okay.
We also have to establish at some point that Malak is also looking for the star maps or already has access to the Starforge. Does he? Is he already at the Starforge?
I think, like, the understanding is they've found the Sith stuff on the path to the Starforge. It's just like they didn't quite get to the Starforge. They got, like, the Sith military stuff.
Okay. You know what we could do instead?
What?
Is Malak knew where those four that we're looking for throughout the series were, and the last one he needed was on Dantooine, and by destroying the Jedi Enclave and destroying Dantooine, we know he's got all of them, and now it's just a matter of him getting to the Starforge.
Right.
And we still need two star maps. So, Manon, ooh, we didn't make any progress on Manon.
Manon,
when it becomes that sort of race against the clock... I feel like something we could work with, though I don't see where we could really take it thematically, is we don't have time for the judicial system. We gotta get the star map and go. But I feel like where we're kind of taking Averyn's character is, no, we should do this the right way. Because I'm starting to dig this a little more now. If we do it the wrong way, then we're establishing a dangerous precedent and we're just as bad as the bad guys kind of thing, you know?
Right.
Like Jon Snow in the last season of Game of Thrones, which you shouldn't cite too much, of, you know, I'm lying to people. We should never get what we want by lying, even if we're lying to the bad guys.
All right. Well, then I suppose, like, the payoff, if you really want that to make sense, is that, the guy that they save through the power of the judicial system is the one that knows where the star map is, or gives them the clue that leads them to the star map, where they have to go to the bottom of the ocean and fight a giant sea serpent so that Eric has to deal with his thalassophobia.
Again. Yeah, okay, I'm digging it. That way, okay, it's a bit plain, but, you know, I wouldn't be too surprised if people loved our rushed season of TV, because people loved The Mandalorian. I just fired some shots there. I'm sorry. Gosh, the writing was so
bad. They weren't all winners. I liked it. It had some problems.
It was so, so plain. Anyway, the thing that keeps on coming back, or at least comes back twice or three times, Tatooine, maybe, and definitely on Kashyyyk, and definitely on Manon, is because Averyn made what some people may argue is a bit of a simplistic, naive moral choice, that is what directly leads to us getting what we want. Tatooine might be, no, let's negotiate peace between the Sand People and the people of the village so that we work together to kill the Krayt Dragon. That's literally exactly what happened in The Mandalorian.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
But something like that, anyway, leads us to killing the Great Dragon, and that's where the star map is. And then, you know, stopping Zerka Corp. I saved one of the Wookiees who just knows a legend, and then he is our guide to some temple where we find the star map. And then, because we saved some guy from wrongfully being convicted and getting the death penalty on Manon, he is the one who can get us past security or figure out how to fix a broken lift on Manon, which gets us to the star map. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's sort of the theme that comes back again and again. And some people will notice it. Most people might not. Regardless, it's Star Wars-y enough. People will be okay with it.
Right. Which, see, we can't even mess up Star Wars on when we're trying to. We're that brilliant.
But that last episode before the series finale, I guess it might be. Maybe the series finale is two episodes instead of one. Regardless, the episode right before that one, when we go to Korriban, we break that formula.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens there is something different. What happens on Korriban? I got sort of the feeling that on Tatooine we ran into like a minor character who's like a mini boss, like Kalanord. On Kashyyyk, I couldn't think of anything. But I really like the idea on Korriban of someone from earlier in the show coming back and complicating things.
I mean, the logical choice is like Malak's apprentice. Malak's apprentice is a character in the game who you bump into a couple of times earlier, and then I do think you fight him on Korriban. I think that is how it happens.
That would be pretty sick.
Yeah.
Is there the Sith Academy on Korriban?
Yep, that's what's on Korriban.
No, I meant like in our show.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Were we not going to do that? Yes, we're most definitely having the Sith Academy, or like this at least like the Sith Stronghold on Korriban. It's where the most powerful Sith are all hanging out and living.
I just had the dopest idea.
Okay, have a dope idea.
Here we go. Okay, in the game, Bastila was like, got to Korriban, and she was like, no, can't go down there. Everyone's going to recognize me, and they just murk me instantly. Nobody knows what you look like. You just go down there and lie about why you're here. But what we could do is essentially the same. Averyn is now either alone or with only one or two people. But while he's down, you know, in the trenches, on the front lines, on Korriban, Bandon shows up and then turns the Sith Academy against him.
Eric, who's Bandon?
Darth Bandon is Malak's apprentice.
There we go.
We were talking about. He never said his name, my bad. And what can happen is that's where the reveal kind of happens. And we're bringing back Karth from the beginning of this episode. Karth, he has personal beef with Revan, who he believes to be dead, because Revan didn't just get his best buddy killed. He did it himself. So he not only blames Revan for giving the order, but also carrying it out. And so when everyone figures out, and oh, here we go, I'm on a roll.
He's on a roll. Like butter.
Not everyone figures out Averyn is Revan at once. So Karth and Averyn are the only ones on Korriban's surface down in the trenches for plot reasons. They're separated because to prove himself, Averyn has to do something alone, and he has to prove himself in order to get access to the star map, because it's in some Sith temple somewhere. While he's in there alone, Karth is sort of cornered by someone in the Sith army. Maybe it's Darth Bandon, maybe it's that evil Sith general that was in the game, that was his old general who switched sides. But anyway, they don't fight Karth, they just, like, tell him, hey, you didn't know? And then we don't get the reveal right there, but what they tell Karth is Averyn is Revan, and then he goes off to the ship to tell everyone, and he's like, let's leave him behind or ambush him when he gets back.
Mm.
And we don't get the reveal as an audience then. We get it when Averyn comes back from the temple, and Bandon and the whole Sith Academy is there, and they're like, hey, yo, we're stopping you with brute force. Get ready to eat it. And then, like, you know, because Averyn is Revan, who is like the ultimate Sith bad dude, he like takes the energy from the planet, so he's uber powerful, and then he just kills them all with brute force. And then that's our first sort of taste of a plot device where, no, not doing the right thing got me some progress, you know?
Right.
By tuning into the dark side and being a bad guy,
right.
I eliminated the threat.
I know I don't know. That really seems to embody the mentality, like, of the Sith, which is great. It's like, and it's, which is a motif, which is something that keeps appearing on Korriban in the game. It's like the Sith, the end of the Sith oath is the Force has freed me.
Oh my goodness.
Right?
The Force has set me free.
That one.
Oh, it's so good. So when Avrin gets back to the ship and he talks to everyone on the ship, Karth is like,
This is an intervention.
Yeah.
Where Karth, we murder you.
Karth gives him the intervention and he's like, and Karth is like, guess what, everybody? Avrin is Revan! And he expects everybody to be like, yeah, get him! But he's alone because they've all had character arcs and they've seen Avrin do the good right thing so many times. They're like, I don't care. That's my boy over there. Avrin, what do you have to say? And Karth is like, what does he think? He's the villain. He's the bad guy. And then Avrin has like a sit down with Karth and he's like, no, I understand why you would hate me. But you have to understand, I'm not that mad anymore. And then Bastila sort of puts in, like, the idea that, like, sure, you might not be that guy anymore, but how do we know that you know you were him, who are you now? Because you're not that goody-two-shoes in the first few episodes either.
Yeah.
Who are you, dog?
We saw you barbecue, like, 19 people.
Exactly. And that's when he makes the choice, ooh, because choices were a big part of the game, I'm not going to fight for the dark side, because as easy as that was, just barbecuing all those people, it's wrong. But I'm not going to fight for this idealistically pure bureaucratic group of the Jedi, or even the Republic, because they're the ones who brainwashed me. Instead, I'm gonna fight for the people on this ship, and it's just like a very wholesome and very unobtrusive kind of message.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Starforge, and, like, if the Republic and the Jedi want to help, I know they do, I will let them. And then they go, and we have some time, we can decide how that whole thing plays out.
Okay, cool. Have we decided if we ever have, like, if the gang has ever confronted Malak at all?
Ooh, no, nobody even looked at him, nobody's seen him, that's a bit...
I suppose the point to do that would be there's some form of confrontation with him when he blows up Dantooine.
Yeah, that would be pretty solid.
That's the midway point, isn't it? Like, we don't see each other. We're pulling a Heat. We're pulling the Dark Knight. It's they don't interact until the midpoint.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he does something insane and all-powerful, incredible... with the Force. And it's like, how can we ever defeat him? Blah, 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 blah.
Just to prove he's a beast.
Here we go. Now we've backtracked and we've done that. How do we want the finale to look?
The finale, I'm thinking it's... it could be two episodes. And we can decide whether it is or not, you know, off screen, off mic, when Disney definitely approaches us, because they will, because this is a heater of an idea. It could be two episodes in that we can have one that is finding the Starforge, getting a feel for the magnitude of the problem. We know where the Starforge is. Let's call in the cavalry. Radios are jammed or whatever. It must be the weird static field around the Starforge. And then we crash land on the planet where we have that moment with the people who built the Starforge. And it's this ancient civilization that wants to be left alone because their technology is so advanced and uber dangerous to the rest of the galaxy.
Yeah. So they just want to play backgammon and wait to die.
Yeah, pretty much. Although we could get a sort of story within a story. And what comes to mind is that short story that I can't remember the name of, where the planet of ancient civilization people is at war. There are tribes on it that are at war with each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That they think they're doing this sort of magnanimous... oh no, we will forsake all of this other stuff for pulling a feudal Japan. But in reality, they're just at war with each other, and like, maybe they're falling behind the rest of the galaxy because they've shut themselves off like this.
Huh.
That would be pretty cool.
That is pretty fun.
But now it's a totally isolated incident where you could, like, take that episode out and it doesn't have anything to do with the rest of the scene.
Yeah, it's the beach episode.
Yeah, that we can do that.
Warring Tribes is the beach episode of Star Wars.
Is that right? I mean, I dig it. Like, Avrin comes in and he... Yeah, he gets them involved, and by making peace between them, he's like, look, y'all suck. The rest of the galaxy is eons ahead of y'all now because you've shut yourselves off for so long. Help us get up to that big, dangerous ship in the sky and help us, like, take down the weird radio jammer thing so that we can stop him and save the galaxy. And they're like, heck yeah, let's do it. And so then we get the final episode.
Conveniently. That army came out of nowhere, but it works.
And then we get the final episode, much like other Star Wars movies, that's like a hodgepodge of different armies working together to stop one big, very monochromatic army.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And that's awesome. So we're going to need a fight on, like, three fronts, and that will be Avrin inside the Star Forge with Bastila, and maybe Karth. At least one team sneaking around on the Star Forge, and then the third team sort of zooming around in space. So that way we get three different kinds of cool visuals, basically.
I like that, yeah.
So we've got... And that can be a bunch of teams of people who have, like, really butted heads throughout the series, but at the end they're, you know, they're able to overcome the baddies because they work together. But the idea is that only Karth was the only pilot in the whole squad. But we can maybe change that. We can just say, like, HK, a robot that we picked up along the way, knows how to fly.
And I failed to mention until this point.
Yeah, that we found on Tatooine.
This is why we don't do series.
Exactly. Well, okay. Just understanding that we have the three teams. The only one that really matters is the one is Avrin, Karth, and Bastila going to face Malak head on, because the other two is more about an escalation of tension. It's basically how you're supposed to do a montage, you know, cutting back and forth between scenes. The more intense one gets, the more intense the other gets, and then they all culminate in all being intense as possible. So Avrin, Karth, Bastila fight their way through the Star Forge. They get to Malak's office or headquarters or the bridge or whatever. They have a one-on-one conversation.
His man cave.
Yeah. And then Malak should present Avrin with a sort of ultimatum of join me, or more like a if you kill me, then all of this force energy or whatever, I don't know, will go into you. And then you'll, like, be overcome with power, and then you'll want to, like, take over the galaxy for the sake of quote-unquote peace. That's exactly what I'm doing, dog. And they're like, no, shut up, that won't happen. And then that way we can, like, be fighting him, and then the drama continues after we strike him down. That way it keeps going, and then it's like, yeah, we did it up top, Avrin. And he's like, holy crap, I can save the universe. I can do it. And they sort of talk him down. All because right, he's yeah. rubbed off on them so much.
Yeah, that's sort of like, I don't know, having that temptation. I feel like there can be some sort of callback to Korriban, like saying the phrase, the force will set me free.
Oh, this is pretty sick. Mm-hmm. And of course he doesn't. He chooses to do the right thing because his friends talk him down. That's pretty solid. How is the denouement? And I only care about how is the
farm. We all go live on a farm. And we're all married. I don't know.
I've kind of always wanted to tell a story about someone deciding that the pursuit of the greater good is ultimately self-destructive to a degree and should be left to someone else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Doing the right thing doesn't always mean sacrificing yourself kind of story. And I always get there and then I'm like, well, but you should do the right thing. And it's all about, you know, the main character being a sort of hero.
Mm-hmm.
But I always betray myself like that. So maybe Avrin just goes and lives on a farm by himself. You dig?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That seems like a valid conclusion, is to is to wish to become detached.
Yeah.
Is that if you've been both, can you really be either one?
That's pretty solid. So the denouement, Karth is like a hero. Bastila keeps on... Bastila refounds the sort of Jedi because their headquarters was kind of messed up on Dantooine.
Yeah.
And Avrin has a farm.
HK and Candorous are out doing mercenary stuff.
Yeah, those scoundrels.
Those scoundrels. And that would be your spinoff series right there. KOTOR, Star Wars KOTOR, Scoundrels.
Ooh, I dig that.
That'd be fun. I'd watch that.
Scoundrels. Oh, that's cool. And it could be a season two. It could be multiple seasons with spinoffs.
There we go.
I'm digging this. There we go.
Eric, I dare say that the potential of this story has been tapped.
So do I.
Mm. I'm holding the lightsaber. It's one of Revan's lightsabers.
Yeah, I own Full Metal replicas of Revan's lightsabers.
Yeah, they're really cool.
They're so cool.
The end?
The end.
The end.
Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps a ton. Also, make sure to check out the podcast Story Break by Rocket Jump. It's basically what you just listened to, but more professional. And thanks again.